The Bible never calls borrowing a sin. On the other hand, God's Word doesn't have much good to say about debt. I am Rob West. Scripture repeatedly warns us about the dangers of borrowing. Proverbs 22:7 gets right to the point. The borrower is slave to the lender. Today we'll look at a situation where you might be tempted to borrow, but shouldn't. We're off, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so as the economy teeters on the edge of recession, small businesses are beginning to feel the pinch. A couple of years ago when the economy was booming, they may have sought to expand, plowing more revenue back into the business. But now money is getting tighter. Cash flow isn't what it used to be. Maybe it gets tougher every week to meet payroll. Suppliers are having to wait longer for payment. So if you're a small business owner, what's the solution? Well, this is where temptation enters the picture. Specifically, the temptation to tap into your home's equity. You may even be seeing commercials saying something along the lines of, "It's your money, use it however you want." And while it might seem like the equity in your home would be a good source of quick cash to get you through a tough time, is it really? Today we're going to consider a question that's front and center for many families who own a business. Listen to Sherry's story. Sherry's husband is self-employed in the trucking industry. A few years ago, they sold one of their trucks and used the profit to make a down payment on a home. Now they're facing serious cash flow problems because of fuel costs, lingering supply chain issues, and the increasing time it takes clients to pay them. The business still owes money on much of the equipment, and Sherry says even if they sold it all, they wouldn't break even. Sherry wants to know if now would be a good time to use the equity in their home to keep the business going. Well, Sherry, the short answer to your question is absolutely not. Don't use your home as collateral to cover business debt. You'd put yourself at risk of losing your business and your home if you can't make the payments. Of course, dealing with a struggling business is never easy. If you're in that position, here are a few things to consider. Perhaps most important, there's a relational aspect to this issue. If you're married, are you and your spouse in agreement about how to proceed with your struggling business? In any case, it's so important to pray together about this, asking God to reveal a path that you both can agree on. Then you can look at the economic conditions. Right now, the economy is slowing. Fuel prices remain high, and you can reasonably expect that payments from your customers will only get slower. Consider the long-term future for your business. What are your goals? Ask yourself, is it time to call it quits before you get yourself deeper into debt? It's always smart to seek wise advice from a financial planner, or you can talk to other business owners who've been there. One thing you'll likely hear from them is that it's not a good idea to mix personal and business finances, and that using your home equity to keep your business afloat only puts your family's future in jeopardy, so avoid that. Another thing to consider when discussing the future of your small business is your emotional attachment to it. Business decisions should never be based on emotions. It's difficult for an entrepreneur to give up a business, but most successful ones will tell you that they failed at one before achieving success with another. So giving up on a failing business isn't the end of the world. Finally, ask yourself, what is God trying to tell you through this financial challenge? Whatever that is, you know you can trust God to lead you to a better place. And one final thought, we're called to practice absolute honesty and integrity at all times, especially in our finances. Business owners have a unique opportunity to witness for Christ in the marketplace. People are watching you, and how you act in troubled times can help point others to Christ. Remember, money is a tool, it's a test, but it's also a testimony to the world, especially in challenging times. Proverbs 11:1 tells us a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight in His delight. And 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, "For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man." As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We want to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money. It's a high calling, so let's do it together. Stay tuned. We're just getting started.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Part of what makes living in a sin-filled world difficult are broken relationships. For example, not everyone has had a warm and loving relationship with their dad. It's heartbreaking, but there remains hope despite the pain. Whether we have had good parents or not, there's a greater parent that we should look to, our Heavenly Father. Listen to what is said of him in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. In our Father, the Creator of the heavenly lights, we've received every good and perfect gift. Do you want to know that kind embrace of the Father? Come to him through his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet four courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, here at AFR, it's all about equipping you with a biblical worldview. First and foremost, to encourage you to surrender your lives to Jesus, to place your full trust in him for your salvation. And then beyond that, which is the biggest decision you will ever make, it's all about stewardship. How can we be stewards of what God has entrusted to us? Our time, our relationships, we're stewards of God's word and our talents and skills, and yes, his resources, the financial resources that have been entrusted to us. How do we live with a biblical worldview in every area of our lives, including this area of money, understanding the heart of God from Scripture and applying that to the everyday decisions we make with his money? That's what we want to do on this program to help you do just that. Let's begin in Williams Bay, Wisconsin with Catherine. And Catherine, I'm sure it's beautiful in Williams Bay, huh?
Today, yes. our air quality hasn't been great, but today is pretty good.
Okay, well, we'll take that, right? And we're heading into summer, which I'm sure you're looking forward to. But how can I help you today with a financial question? Go right ahead.
So the crux of my question is, how soon between opening one credit card and opening another credit card should I wait? But I promise it's not as bad as it sounds, because what happened is we opened a cash back credit card, but it's a MasterCard, and the main place that we do our grocery shopping will only take Visa. And so we'd like to still get cash back for the grocery shopping, but we're going to have to open a Visa for that. So we need to know how long to wait. We both have really good credit scores, my husband and I.
Yeah,
we just need to know how long to wait.
Sure. So are you north of 800, both of you?
I believe I was 777, and my husband was somewhere in that ballpark.
Okay. Yeah. And have you picked out another card, a Visa, that offers similar rewards?
We're back and forth between two.
Okay. Very good. And are you looking to buy a house and get a mortgage, or buy a car and get a car loan? Any major purchases involving debt coming up in the next 6 months?
No, we've already done both of those.
Okay. Yeah, then I would proceed. I mean, with a 775 plus, you're not going to have any trouble. Now, your credit score may have dipped slightly, so that would be the only reason you'd want to wait 2 to 3 months. And you could go check it yourself, that soft inquiry that you initiate, whether maybe your MasterCard offers that free, or you could go to Credit Karma, you know, somewhere that offers a free credit score. You could just take a look. That hard inquiry that you authorize to open this MasterCard will result in a temporary decrease in your credit score. It could be 20 or 30 points. The only issue with that would be is when you go to apply for this next credit card, you know, whether that would prevent you from somehow qualifying for a top tier card that has, you know, some of the most, you know, aggressive benefit packages, things like that. But I suspect, just what I'm, from what I'm hearing, if you all manage money responsibly, which it sounds like you have, and you've got a high credit score, if you had a temporary dip, it's probably already begun to come back. And even if you were applying with that dip fully in place, you'd probably still get this new card. So I don't think there's any reason to wait necessarily, especially since you don't have any kind of major purchases coming up. One suggestion I might make is you could check nerdwallet.com and bankrate.com just to make sure you're not missing any cash rewards cards that perhaps just slipped off your radar as you make that final decision for a Visa. There are some great ones out there, many of which that now offer 2% on every purchase, which is great, because a lot of times it's below that unless you're in a certain category. But I think the bottom line is you guys can proceed, Catherine, without any problem.
All right. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. God bless you. Let's head to Miami. Hi, Marilyn. Go right ahead.
Well, hello there, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I am going to be 65 in August. I'm going to try to hang in another year of working. My house needs repairs. It's paid off, but it's falling apart. And I don't know where to even begin to inquire on where to take out a loan. So I want to make, you know.
Yeah. So tell me about the house that you have. What is it worth, roughly? Do you know?
Probably about $400 to $450.
Okay. And what do you owe on it?
Nothing.
Okay. You own it free and clear. Great. And you're taking out about $50,000 or so. So you're looking to get a mortgage, correct?
Not a mortgage, but like I need to make a loan for these repairs.
Yeah.
All right. Just not quite sure what my best option is.
Yeah. So because you don't have a mortgage right now, I mean, basically this loan that you get will be in first position, which is a good thing. You're probably wanting, just because of the size of it, a lot of times with a new mortgage, they want it to be over a certain amount. And so you've got a smaller amount, which is good. You're going to be looking at a home equity loan. I wouldn't get, you know, well, let me ask this. How quickly are you looking to pay this back?
Probably not going to be so quick because of the income I'm going to be living off. You know, if I when I stopped working.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Are you able to wait perhaps up to a year, or do you really need to do it right now?
I'm going to try to. I guess I could wait. That's probably the time I'm going to retire, if God willing, you know.
Okay. Yeah, you may want to do it a few months before you retire while you've still got documented income. Now, obviously, you'll have income in retirement, but and you can use that as well. But what I'm looking for is I'd love for you to get a home equity loan, not a line of credit, which is a fixed interest rate. But I would love for you to wait until rates come back down. And they will sometime, in my opinion, over the next year. I think we're at the top end of the range of rates right now, just because the Federal Reserve has been raising the Fed funds rate, which has pushed mortgage interest rates up in an effort to slow the economy to fight inflation. And as a result of that, we have still, even though they've come off their highs, we're still pretty high on interest rates, which is just going to make that monthly payment and the interest that you ultimately pay back larger than what it will be, I think, sometime over the next year. So what I'd probably do is hold off if you can, especially if money's going to be tight as you head into retirement. Wait for rates to come down, which is probably later this year, early next year. Do it then, and then lock in with a home equity loan, not a line of credit. You want a fixed interest rate, and you could go to bankrate.com to find those loan programs to see who has the most competitive rates and terms. So again, you're looking for a home equity loan, but if you can, I'd hold off until probably early next year and watch the interest rates and wait until you can lock in at a lower rate if you have that flexibility. I hope that helps, Marilyn. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Before we head back to the phones, you know, the question often comes from believers. Well, what is a biblical perspective of retirement? You know, our modern concept of retirement isn't specifically a biblical concept. There's a narrow reference to retirement in the Bible in Numbers 8 with the Levitical priest, but that was in a very specific instance. I don't think we can apply that just across the board. You know, the cultural view of retirement is a modern concept. Before the 20th century, people worked as long as they could, and then came Social Security and pensions, and a retirement age at 65 became somewhat of an entitlement. Well, as believers, we need to remember our service to the Lord never ends. The Apostle John was writing and preaching in his 90s. Polycarp, the pastor of Smyrna, in the second century, served, quote, 80 and 6 years, and then he was martyred. So prudent saving is wise. We need to prepare for when we're physically unable to work, but we should retire to something, not from something, and realize God's calling on our life doesn't have an expiration. So we've got to balance that with a lot of prayer and wisdom. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
As we think about our role as stewards, we have a high calling to manage what God has entrusted to us, not only our financial resources, but our time and our skills and abilities, God's word, our relationships, but yes, our money, or I should say God's money. And we want to be found faithful in that. It's long obedience in the same direction, right? We want to look to God's word and find the principles and passages, the themes in scripture that really apply to financial decision-making and bring those to bear in our lives as we make daily financial decisions, ultimately maintaining an eternal, not a temporal perspective, holding God's money loosely, giving it generously, saving appropriately. And that's what we want to help you do on this program each day, because we know the joy and the peace of mind that comes with living according to God's design in all areas of our life, but that certainly includes with financial resources. So let's go to Indiana. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My husband passed away a year and a half ago, and I'm on a fixed income. I get some money from an IRA every other month, and then my Social Security and a small pension. My husband's life insurance is in a total control account, which I can't add anything to, but I'm getting fairly good interest. But I found I really need a little more income during the month, and if I give that money to Salvation Army, to a gift annuity, I can get about $100 a month, probably before taxes. And I was wondering if it was a smart thing to put it in that, or if I should put it in, which I can't take out of if I need the money.
That's
or
right.
If I should put it in some place that I could, that I can get to it.
Yeah. Let me ask you, where are the funds now that you would use to fund the charitable gift annuity?
They're in the, it's called Total Control Account. There's $18,000 in it. It was from his life insurance.
All right. Is that with MetLife by chance?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so you have the, you can't take that money out. So you could either continue taking that income stream from them, but they do give you the ability to transfer it into a charitable gift annuity. Is that right?
It's actually like a bank account. I can't put any money into it. It gets interest, and once I take it out, that's it. I can't. It's just like a savings account that's getting good interest.
Okay.
So I was wondering, you know, if I should take that and put it into the gift annuity and make a little bit more a month, or put it in my IRA, which I wouldn't be able to get that much money from it, but it would.
What is the interest that they're paying on that account?
I don't know. I think it's it's really, really good. I mean, it's $18,000. I'm getting like $25 a month. But if the Salvation Army, if I wait till July, I can get 6.6% interest and get paid monthly from that.
Yeah, that's certainly an option. I mean, these are, I think, Great tools for folks that are looking for income. You'd get a partial tax deduction on that. So you can't take the full amount as a deduction, but you could take a partial deduction. And then they would give you the income stream, which you said is at a very attractive rate. They would invest it, but you don't take the risk on that. They guarantee those payments. And then whatever's left at the end of your life would go back to the charity. So I think that's certainly an option. I think if the goal is charitable giving and income, then I think this is the best tool for you to use, but you are giving up access to these funds. And that's the only concern I would have, is just whether you have depleted, you know, so much of your reserves that you really don't have any place to go if something comes out, you know, unexpected. So I realize we're solving for an income gap, and that's great. This would help you do that with a very attractive rate and accomplish some of your giving goals. But if you had something come up that was, you know, you needed long-term care, or you needed, you know, to buy a new automobile or something like that, I mean, do you have other liquid assets that you could tap into?
I just have my IRA.
Okay. And how much is in that?
Right now, about 90,000.
Okay.
I have about 15,000 in savings.
Okay. And how much are you pulling out of the 90,000 a year?
I get every other month, I get between $750 to $800.
Okay. All right. And has that been declining?
No, actually, it's been ever since I put it in several years ago.
Okay, but I mean the principal balance, which is at 90,000 a day, has that been coming down?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been going down. It was up at one time to over 100,000, and it's going down with the market and stuff.
With the market, sure. Yeah. I mean, you're pulling a little bit more than I would suggest, although what you're pulling is probably based on what it originally was. Not a whole lot more. I mean, at this level, I'd probably think about taking $600 every 2 months instead of $700 or $800. But I think you're in a reasonable range there. So I guess that's the only question, is just would you lose peace of mind in no longer having access to that 18,000, or would you be comfortable, trading that for the, you know, higher payout on that monthly income stream that you'd get through the CGA, and then be able to use that to accomplish some giving goals down the road? If you're wanting to do some giving and get a guaranteed income stream, I think this is a great option. But if you're wanting to, you know, if you'd have a little more peace of mind knowing that you still have that 18,000 to tap into, knowing that you'd lose control of that permanently, then I would say I'd probably just sit tight and maybe, you know, get whoever is helping you manage the 90,000 to help you pick some good, stable investments, income generating, that could also generate an income on that 18,000 to get your monthly income up, and then you could give it away at death. I think those are really the two options. So I would just kind of pray and think through that, Kathy, as to which one would really help you accomplish your goals most effectively. I could go either way. So I think it really just comes down to, are you okay parting with that money, or would you feel better knowing you have access to it? Thanks for calling. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. Back to the phones, we go to Florida. Hi, Julia. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a faithful listener.
And, great.
I'd like to get some advice.
Sure.
My mother passed away last year. I had been caregiving for, and her house was then left to both my sister and I. And we were thinking of selling the house. The only thing is that I don't have a place actually to go to, and I would have to either, I have to find something. And I have a financial advisor, she suggested that I take what I receive from the sale and to put that into a couple of high income yield they're the PEMCO fund and an Eaton Vance tax managed fund, and I to generate some income to perhaps then rent a place. I'm in Florida, and housing here is pretty high, so
yes.
I just don't have a lot to work with in buying a house. And I just wanted to get your help.
Advice. Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry to hear about your mom's passing. So the home has already been sold. Is that right, Julia?
No, it has not. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Needed to get some things stuck in a row first to see, what options I have. And all.
Okay. Now, are you living in the home currently?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you, and is your sibling living in it as well, or just you?
No, just myself.
Okay. And what is her desire? Would she like to have it sold?
I mean, we had talked about myself buying her part out, but I don't have a lot of, I'd have to take from my portfolio that, and I have like 350 in that, and I have like 50,000 for in savings, and I don't have like a IRA or a pension. I just have my Social Security. Okay. So I was concerned of taking out from my portfolio, my investment, because I kind of would drain that. And that's kind of my income producing. It's producing my income more okay. with my Social Security.
Yes. So you've got $350,000 in investments. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then if you were to sell this house, what would your portion of it equal?
Well, it would be just about 140.
Okay. All right.
There was a home equity loan that has to get paid off too.
Okay. So after you pay off the loan and then you split it, you should have about 140 left.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got about $500,000 in potential investments. Obviously, 140 of that still tied up in the house. And then, did you say what are your income sources right now?
Really, just the all the dividends from my investments, and then some Social Security.
Okay, so you're basically living on Social Security, and then how much are you pulling out from the investments each month, roughly?
Around $1,500.
Around $1,600 a month?
$1,500. Yeah.
$1,500 a month. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, if you were to put these together and you had a $500,000 portfolio and you were coming to me, I'd say, you'd probably at that point, in order to allow it to, last for a long time, perhaps, as long as you need it to, because you could sustain the withdrawal rate, I would probably target a 4% rate, which would put you at about up to $1,600 a month. But that's with a $500,000. Obviously, today, you're at, I think you said $350,000. I'd probably be looking to pull only about $14,000 a year, which is about $1,100 a month. So you're pulling a little bit more than that, but you're about to add potentially another $140 to it. So that's good. If you could stay around $1,500 plus Social Security and cover your expenses, then you should be able to maintain that $500,000 balance, arguably for the rest of your life. I mean, there'd be some fluctuation, but if you look at it over the long haul. And then what I would probably do is, you've got to figure out the allocation of the investments that fits your risk tolerance. But typically in this season of life, you might have as much as 30% in stocks and the balance in bonds. And this happens to be, although last year was really bad, we're coming into a season where bonds are going to be very attractive because interest rates are nearly done, going up, and eventually they'll start coming down and we've got higher yields, and those falling bond prices will cause the prices of the, or falling interest rates will cause the prices of the bonds to increase. So I think, if you had a portfolio of $500,000 that was managed by an advisor with maybe 30% stock, 70% bonds, I would say you should be in pretty good shape to be able to maintain that withdrawal rate for the rest of your life, as long as you didn't have to pull more than that. Now, the one challenge you've got is, I assume that $1,500 a month plus Social Security doesn't include a mortgage or a rent payment, correct?
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how much would you need, on top of that? Another $1,000, $1,500 maybe?
Probably about $1,500. And that's why my advisor was looking at this PIMCO and the Eaton Vance.
Okay.
One was a 10% and one was an 8.9%.
Yeah. And I'm not, I would have to look at those funds a little more specifically. I'm familiar with those fund families, but I need to see the specific investments inside of them. But the bottom line is, you, without taking a lot of risk, you're not going to be able to get that kind of guaranteed rate by any means. So I think the goal is going to be for you to try to minimize, what you have to pull out of it. And if you have to increase that to $3,000 a month, even on a $500,000, if we pulled 5% a year, that's only $25,000. you know, which is about $2,100 a month. But you're talking about going up to $3,000, which, you know, on $500,000 is about, you know, about 7%, which is a bit high. Now, obviously you could slowly eat into some of the principal and, you know, that might be what you need to do. If you could offset that by working part-time or something like that, or find a way to get your expenses down, obviously that would be another solution to this. But, I think getting some wise counsel, having an advisor take responsibility for this to manage it. It makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't be buying an annuity. I'd be keeping access to my capital, but then just managing it in a way that's appropriate, not taking unnecessary risk, but having some allocation to stocks where you can have a growth component to this, and then relying primarily on fixed income or bond type investments. So it sounds like you're in pretty good shape, Julie. I think it's just a matter of tweaking the investment mix, and I'd rely on your advisor for that. We appreciate you being on the program today. We'll be right back.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This week on Truth for Life, we're excited to begin a practical study on evangelism. We'll hear from Alistair Begg about what it is, why every Christian is called to share his or her faith, how much of the responsibility belongs to God, and how we get started. Listen to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Final segment today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Britt. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Well, thank you.
I recently I have two kids. One's two and one's five. And some family members recently gave my wife and I $8,000 for each kid. So $16,000 total. I was just reading about a 529 plan today, and I read that you know, you can even roll that into like an IRA without tax penalty. I think starting in 2024 maybe.
That's right.
Given that I don't know if my kids will go to college or if they'll, you know, go right into the trades, you know, when they're older, I don't know. Do you think I should just invest the 16 together in a CD right now, or would it be wise to maybe do a 529 and maybe just roll it to an IRA if they decide that they, you know, don't want to use that educational fund?
Yeah. How far off is college for them?
Well, the one is 5 years old. So I'm guessing, what would that be, like 13 years maybe?
Yeah.
And then,
okay.
The other one's two. Yeah. So 13 to 15 years.
Yeah. You know, I like, Britt, the 529 plan, especially now that as long as it's been in there 5 years and as long as you don't go over the annual contribution limit, that you could then move this out into a Roth IRA if it's unused. Of course, if they get scholarships and grants, you can take it out on a pro rata basis. But given the number of years that you have and where the market is right now and the fact that you should stand to do well, I think, over this period of time, I like the idea that you'd get that growing, in a sense, tax-free, and be able to have the full benefit of that, just given what college tuition inflation has looked like in the past. Now, I think, you know, college is going to look somewhat different when we get there 13 years from now, just given, you know, a lot of folks are going into micro degrees and, you know, education is changing with online and so forth. But, you know, as long as, you know, folks can continue to access the federal student loan program, these colleges have very little incentive to curb the prices. And I think it's going to continue to rise. They obviously have all these massive infrastructures and plants and buildings to maintain. That's very expensive. And so, you know, nothing's going to change quickly, although we're seeing other alternatives come into play. And, you know, I think it's just going to force some innovation. And if there's a bit of a bubble there, we're going to see that exposed. At the same time, I like the idea that you could have it there, have it growing tax-free, be able to use it for educational expenses, get it out if you need to for scholarships and grants, and then roll it to that Roth, you know, if it doesn't get used. Obviously, that doesn't make it available for other purposes, like, you know, being able to redirect it in the near term to, you know, buying a car or, you know, first, last, and security on an apartment. But it does allow it to be used to set them up and get them started for some long-term savings. So I think all things being equal, if you think the primary purpose is college, then I'd probably go ahead and take advantage of that 529 with this gift you've received.
Okay, great. And what's the maximum amount you can contribute in a year?
There really isn't one. So you can put in really as much as you want. It's unlike the Coverdell or the old education IRA where there was some pretty strict contribution limits. You could drop that whole $16,000 in. And you don't get a deduction, but it grows tax-free as long as it's used for qualified educational expenses. I would also, Britt, head to savingforcollege.com and run through kind of their Q&A process. They will help you determine which state's plan is best for you. Are you better off using Ohio because potentially there's a state income tax deduction, or would you be better served to go to another state because the performance on the investments has been far better? It will analyze all of that and help you determine where to go to set up the 529.
Great. Thank you so much for your help.
All right, Britt, thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. To Tuscaloosa. Hi, Michelle. Go right ahead.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Okay. My question is regarding recently my financial advisor told me I could take distributions from my IRA and use them as qualified charitable distributions if it's sent directly from the IRA to the charity.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned that my church is included in that since I give a sizable contribution to my church yearly. Tell me, how is that done if you include the tithe? Since the tithe is usually given at the time it is received.
Yeah.
How is that done to a church, for a church?
Well, so let me just make sure I understand what you've got here. So you've got an IRA, and you're of the age where you have required minimum distributions. Is that right?
I am not of that age yet, but my financial advisor said I could use funds from that to reduce the amount, go on and start giving charitable distributions from it.
Okay. What is your age currently?
71.
Okay. Yeah. So as long as you're 70 and a half, you can use the qualified charitable distribution. Okay. So that is correct. And so you would do a transfer of up to $100,000 directly from that IRA to the charity or your church that you'd like to. and that will not be added to your adjusted gross income. They'll get the full amount of that distribution. And when you have an RMD requirement down the road, if you were to do it in that year, it would also either satisfy or be counted toward your required minimum. Now, your question was, how do you go about that given that you don't know your tithe essentially until you receive the income? Is that right?
Well, you have an idea what it is. Yeah. If you're on pretty much a fixed income, you just right. about know what the tithe will be. So right. how do you give it in advance?
Yeah, I mean, I think you certainly could. I mean, the idea is you're giving a tenth of your increase just as an act of worship, a way to acknowledge the Lord's provision in your life as a starting point for your giving. And yeah, I mean, you, unless you're on a, you know, you're somebody who's got a variable income, you can pretty much determine what is my income for the year. And then at some point during the year, you could go ahead and through the qualified charitable distribution, make the gift for the full amount for that calendar year by way of the distribution. And essentially that is in effect your tithe. I mean, I don't, you know, there's not any reason why it has to go monthly or it has to go weekly or anything like that. That, you know, that's entirely up to you. And if you send that as one check based on the increase you're expecting to get for that year, I think that's perfectly appropriate.
Okay, that pretty much answers my question. I didn't know how you gave it in advance, if it was okay to give it in advance in anticipation of receiving
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And the other thing folks will do is if they're not doing it out of a qualified charitable distribution, they might use what's called a donor advised fund, and they do what's called bunching, where they may take a couple of years worth of giving, put it into a donor advised fund, which the large dollar amount puts it above their standard deduction. So now they get a bigger tax benefit because they're itemizing, and then they just slowly dole it out, you know, out of the donor advised fund to their church or their charity. So that's another approach, you know, that's similar. But I think to your point, yeah, if you're wanting to do it out of the IRA to just continue to bring that balance down without having to add it to your adjusted gross income, essentially doing the same giving you would have done out of cash, you know, no reason why you can't do that a bit in advance in anticipation of what you expect to receive as income for that full year. Hope that helps you, Michelle. Thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it. To Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I sure. love your show. Listen all the time.
Thank you.
I'm going to be retiring in the next 3 months, and I, in talking to my financial advisor, he was thinking I should take half of my 401k and buy a fixed annuity with it. And I just
why is
was
he suggesting that? What was the reason for that?
Well, because basically right now I have it in my 401k. It's in a, kind of like a life insurance stable fund, which is getting 3.25%. And, you know, he basically thinks it would be better because if I were to take 4% of my portfolio, it would be probably around $25,000. But this would probably give me, just taking half of it, like $21,000 a year.
Yeah, but just because you're in that stable fund now doesn't mean you couldn't move it to some of the other options that would give you either a higher yield with maybe some bond funds or even some growth if you were to have a portion of it in some stock funds.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that's a wise idea?
Yeah, I'm just not a big fan of annuities because you're locking up your money. They're complicated. They're expensive. You know, if you've got a variable product where it's got a floor on the downside, in exchange for that, you have to give up something on the upside. I think I'd rather just see you position this the best you can among the investments that are available to you in the 401k. So you've got the, based on your age and goals and risk tolerance, you've got the right amount in some high quality stock mutual funds, you've got the right amount in some bond funds, and you just let it grow. And then when you reach retirement age or you separate from your company, you roll it out to an IRA, you keep it, you know, then you continue to invest it, although now you've got a lot more investment options inside the IRA. And, you know, you still have access to your money. So if you needed it, you can get to it, but you're keeping it invested, you know, to continue to grow it, offset inflation, and support the withdrawal rate you need from the 401k to supplement your income alongside Social Security or whatever else you have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I think you're welcome. I think the next step for me would be to look at the investment options inside the 401k. You know, the annuity is going to generate a huge commission for the advisor selling it. I'm more interested in getting you positioned with the money you have among the investments in the 401k. That'd be my preference. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. And that's going to do it for us today, folks. Have a great weekend. Grateful for my team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. I couldn't do it without them. I hope you enjoy church on Sunday, and then come back and join us on Monday. We'll do it all over again, Lord willing. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.